Good evening. It's Sunday, June 18th, 2023, and this is the Weekend Evening News. In the midst of Pride Month, at a time when there's a backlash across the country directed at members of the LGBTQ plus communities, what's it like to show up as one's authentic self as a trans person?
There's a response that people often have where when something comes up that they don't really understand immediately, they will assume it to be wrong.
And how can music and laughter build bridges and help people find common ground when dealing with difficult issues? We'll hear from members of the band Las Cafeteras.
In the movement, they want you to do everything. But we have to understand, everybody has their role. And if you're clear on your role, do that.
And from comedian Gina Brion.
People react better to curiosity than accusation.
As they both prepare to head to the East Bay this week. I'm Sharon Sabota, and this is the KPFA Weekend Evening News. The Marshall Project reported that hate crimes directed toward members of the LGBTQ plus communities have seen the sharpest increase, along with those committed against Asian-identifying people. The Trevor Project indicated that half of all LGBTQ plus and trans-identifying youth have contemplated suicide in the past year. And in 2022, the U.S. saw a record-breaking 150 bills introduced to restrict the lives and rights of trans people, specifically youth around gender-affirming healthcare, participation in sports, and accessible restrooms. Along with the national backlash, there seems to be an uptick in resistance to affirmative inclusion of LGBTQ plus youth in school settings, in what seems to be a small but verbose group. I had a chance to speak with one such protester who's been standing outside of the Lafayette Elementary School carrying signs of opposition since the school decided to display the transgender pride flag in commemoration of Transgender Day of Visibility. A quick content warning to our listeners, some of these comments could be triggering.
Biology is not bigotry. My name is Lisa Disbro.
And the sign says
sexual exposure is abusive.
And so some folks who have students who are LGBTQ mm-hmm. plus members of the community mm-hmm. feel hated by the kinds of signs that you're holding, and they talk about that. What do you say to them?
I feel hated.
How?
Well, I've had people give me the middle finger, tell me to go home when I live in this area.
Do you live in Lafayette?
I live nearby.
So what has you invested in protesting in this district?
Because I care about our students.
So some people are saying that they feel targeted by these signs.
Well, sure, because we're disagreeing with them. And whenever you disagree and don't affirm, they feel rejected. But I'm free to disagree.
They feel like you're disagreeing maybe with their existence. And so
What evidence do you have of that?
People have said these signs make me feel targeted. They make me feel unsafe. That's what they've said.
They feel unsafe. That doesn't mean they are unsafe.
So your goal with the sign is?
My goal with the sign is to influence and increase information for people who do not understand the impact on our children and our learning when we focus on race and sexuality.
Some of this I know is spurred by Transgender Day of Visibility. So the school district's perspective is that that's a day so that everybody, regardless of their gender identity, feels safe at school and feels recognized and embraced. So what's your response to that?
How do children who are raised to believe in just male-female sex feel recognized? Where are they included? Because they're not.
I'm a straight woman. My children are straight girls. How does it harm us if we use a different pronoun or we honor somebody else in spite of their gender identity?
Why should a group be able to control the English language because of their feelings? In America, you can be anything you want, right?
Gina Schwartz agrees with Lisa Disbro that in America, you should be able to be anything you want, but disagrees with her sentiment that cisgendered boys and girls are not adequately recognized.
I don't understand the point that she's making. We are surrounded by examples of boys and girls being boys and girls and men and women being men and women. And it's anything that falls outside of that cis heteronormative binary that we don't see as much. We're starting to. Little by little, we're starting to see a little bit more presence you know, in media, in acknowledgement of the laws of our country. I mean, it wasn't until recently that, you know, same-sex couples were able to legally marry. And even looking historically, like, interracial marriage hasn't been a law in our country that long from a historical perspective. And so maybe little by little gains are being made, but it's not enough and it's not right. We need more. Everybody deserves to see themselves, to be seen, to be heard, to be acknowledged and honored, and loved.
And what message did you have for the kids who might feel hated or unloved by those signs or other community members?
I think I just would want them to know that there's other people out there who support them, who are rooting for them, who want them to feel seen and heard and loved and know that they exist and there's nothing wrong with them, that they're wonderful just as they are, and there are people out there who will love and support them in every way, and they deserve that. No matter who they are, no matter what their circumstances are, no matter what their situation is, they are worthy of love.
On the final Friday of the school year, allies and supporters filled the sidewalks with bouquets of rainbow balloons and Pride Progress flags in hopes of countering the protester with a message of love and acceptance of youth from all backgrounds.
Robbie Peacock, I'm a lifelong resident of Lafayette, and I am carrying what is called the Progress Pride flag.
And what does the Progress Pride flag mean, and why are you carrying it on this Friday afternoon?
So the Progress Pride flag has got not only the original rainbow stripes from the original Pride flag, but also includes stripes and a triangle for transgender as well as people of color.
Why is that important?
They're very underprivileged, very underrepresented, and we want to make sure that our community knows that we stand by and support them, regardless of the hate spewed out anywhere else.
So the last several Fridays, there's been a small handful of community members coming out with messages like puberty is natural.
Biology is not bigotry.
Yes.
Yes.
DEI means deliberate extinction of innocence, these kinds of messages. For a while, they were just standing up by themselves, and today, number of people with rainbows, rainbow flags, rainbow shirts showed up. Why was that important, do you think?
We wanted to make sure that the community actually knows that we do care, that it's not just the small handful of people that have very hateful messages. We want to show them that we see you, we know you're here, and we are always going to be there to support you.
And why is it important for you to be here as an ally?
I want to show my kids what a good example actually looks like. And when I grew up, I had some friends that were part of the LGBTQ community, and they were terrified to come out until they got out of high school. And I want them to be able to come out and be themselves, their true self, always. Whatever age they happen to realize that they may be a member of the LGBTQ+, as long as they have that ability to be able to show themselves who they are and be happy, because we need to make sure that we do not allow them to harm themselves because of this hate.
And so you, I'm guessing, do you identify as a straight male? Straight
as
white male?
Cis white male.
And
straight.
So,
yes.
So, you mentioned, like, and so you've even got stripes on the flag that represent people of color, represent people across the gender spectrum. What would you say to other people who seem to be threatened by the message of trans inclusivity and inclusivity of race education and all of that?
I actually found a perfect sticker.
Yeah.
And it said, just because somebody else gets equal rights doesn't mean you lose your rights. It's not a pie. Hey, guys, watch out.
Hey, Espy.
Ollie.
Espy, help Ollie.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. That's perfect.
22-year-old Jessica is a transgender youth in the same community.
I was like 17 when it came up in a therapy session, kind of apropos of nothing. And we didn't talk about it. It was like I was putting on glasses for the first time after having really bad vision for my whole life. So I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense and this feels better. So it was just this journey of understanding that made me have a very confusing first year of college. I was figuring myself out at a time where I was also meeting a bunch of new people.
While the pandemic was trying for many people, it was a game-changing time for Jessica and her gender identity journey.
The pandemic happened and I had to go home. And the story behind this is that I started working at an ice cream shop. And I was wearing a mask and I was wearing a apron and I had already been adjusting my voice a bit. So I kind of without realizing it, I had at work at least started presenting female to customers. So customers would call me lady and she apropos of nothing. And I was astounded by the fact that I had lived any other way.
So that felt good to you when they called you those
Oh
things.
Yes, definitely. I was like, oh, this is how I have to live my whole life or else it is bad for me. I'm realizing now that, oh, it's felt bad this whole time. I never knew. Because it never felt good.
Jessica considers herself lucky and in some ways an anomaly. As she says, she has one of those rare families that have accepted her unconditionally.
My parents were the first to know. I kind of started slipping up in sort of clumsy ways, was trying to express myself. And I just felt it was a very chaotic state of my life. And I started explaining stuff to people, but eventually everyone came around on it. You know, there was a bit of a rocky start as anyone would expect, you know, 18 years of not being this and suddenly I've changed. And people, obviously I've had, you know, a year and a half to mull it over, but these people are experiencing it for the first time ever. So they're like, okay, what? Hang on. I talked them through it. And eventually, I mean, now especially, it's very the norm.
In terms of the anti-LGBTQ+ legislation and local rhetoric, Jessica says she hopes that at some point people can let love and acceptance of fellow human beings drown out the hate.
I would hope at least that a lot of the people who are sort of in the opposing camp to my identity would think on it, I guess, is what all I can hope is that people can try to be mature and vulnerable about their lack of understanding. And some people will turn towards hatred because they fear more severe consequences. They fear what if their children could turn into people like this? And if they don't like those people, then they won't like their children turning into those people. But, you know, the core fault with the situation that they put themselves in is that they are catastrophizing the identities of people who are very happy with who they are and, you know, the paths they take.
That's 22-year-old Jessica sharing her gender identity journey as a transgender woman. Las Cafeteras, an eclectic storytelling band that combines son jarocho with global beats, hip-hop-ish elements, is coming to the Bay next weekend. They'll be making a stop at Lesher Theater in Walnut Creek. I spoke with Denise Carlos and Hector Flores about the group's tour, their roots, and their mission.
But there's a lot of places where, like we could see how similar we are, you know? Like, if you go to a sports game, there's, like, people from all backgrounds and all kinds of affiliations, but you're there sitting rooting for a team. You go to a concert and like you're all singing the same song. Nobody's asking, hey, where's your mom from? Hey, what language you speak? You know, that's like, yo, we all love this damn song. You know, and we're all singing along, right? And so like music has that special power. So it's not us. It's this thing that exists beyond us. It's music that is able to reach people. And so if you can find a melody, a harmony, a chorus, a hook, you know, that can reach people, then it allows you, it's an invitation. And that's what I think is music is an invitation to join a larger group of people in a common, you know, common journey of like harmony, right? And so it's kind of dope, you know? And mm-hmm. I think as we're like a banging party band, like live. Like our album's cute, but live, we're a banging party band. But I love when people come after and they're like, hey, that was a great show. and thank you for the message. Mm-hmm. Like those two things for me, I'm like, yo, for me, it's like job done. Like, that's it. But if you just came to party, down. And if you just heard the
check
message,
out the boxes, yeah.
Down. But when you do both, is sort of like, that's what we're going for.
And I imagine it's hard not to do both.
Yeah, I think for me, it really means something when there's people I see in the audience that look like my family, that look like my parents. I love those moments of like, oh, there I am, you know, and I see smiles or laughing or like even kind of confused because we go back and forth with the language and the music is all different. And then they come up to us after and they have like some pride, you know, they're happy to be who they are because they saw themselves in us, because I see myself in them. And I think there's not enough spaces like that. And there's not enough, like, there's always little girls waiting for me after a show. And that's like the best feeling, because as a woman, I also don't feel that a lot, you know, or did growing up. And a lot of, like yesterday, I met this little girl who didn't speak Spanish, and her mom didn't speak Spanish, but they, you know, they have Mexican lineage, and the little girl's name is Sonora. And I was like, she's like, I'm like, what's your name? And she's like, Sonora. And I'm like, Sonora, like the state? And she looked at her mom and she's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, my mom was born in Sonora and my parents were married in Sonora. I'm like, and there's a taco place called Sonora Town that I love. And so the mom told me, she's like, you're the first person she's ever met that knew what Sonora was. And the little girl was so happy. And I'm like, these are the moments that matter, because they see us being like fierce and like happy and running around. And then there's also a softness and like an offering of love.
Flores says the group's musical journey began with their organizing work during college.
We met in college as community activists, as organizers for environmental justice, gender justice, immigrant rights, and youth organizing. And we kind of fell in love at that time with this folk style of music. It's called Son Jarocho. And so because we were already organizing and doing work, this folk music allowed us to like sing folk songs, like traditional songs, and also write our own verses. And we kind of loved it. Like, we loved bringing music to the movement. Music has always been a big part of like movement work all over the world, whether it's in South Africa, fighting apartheid, or in the South with gospel songs and hymns, whether it be in Latin America with Victor Jara, you know? And so we were just part of that legacy.
Las Cafeteras takes to heart the sentiment of Audre Lorde's quote, "There's no such thing as a single-sided struggle because we do not live single-sided lives," in the lyrics and the messaging of their music. Flores says they hope to plant seeds, start conversations, and of course, inspire people to dance and have a great time.
Our music is an offering, again, is an invitation. Someone who's not ready, like, we play in a lot of red states. We play in a lot of places that are super conservative, and we come with a really open love, like loving agenda of like, yo, peace, love, you know, justice. And sometimes that's what people need. Maybe that's when you said earlier, like, you're planting seeds. Mm. Yeah, I like that. I feel like we're gardeners and like we're planting seeds all over the country, and we are not going to see the fruits of that tree. But we were part of planting seeds along the way. And I think that's all right. And hopefully the seed down the line produces a fruit and a conversation that is fruitful for that human being. I just did a rally in Philadelphia to save Chinatown from the 76ers arena that's trying to take off half the community and like gentrify it. And, you know, and so we were at a rally there with like 3,000 people, and they reached out to us because they knew we were coming to town.
And you went.
And we went.
You were invited to show up, and you showed up. Sometimes the act of showing up is an act of resistance.
And we just happened to, it just happened to work out. It just happened that our show was that night. The rally was in the morning. We traveled 3 states to get there early in the morning, and we made it. We played some songs, and we joined a 3,000-person rally, of like diverse rally, to save Chinatown. It's like, we don't like, that's our role right now. I remember one time someone was like, during the Black Lives Matter protest, someone was like, where's Kendrick Lamar? How come he's not at the protest? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he got a lot of criticism. I remember one homeboy saying, Kendrick Lamar's in the studio making music for us. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Lamar is playing his role. And his role is to keep on creating music so that we can feel proud when we're walking down the streets and we can chant and sing his songs and things like that. And I thought that was really dope, you know, because a lot of times in the movement, they want you to do everything. But we have to understand, we have, everybody has their role. And what is your strength? And even what is the areas, not weakness, but you can prove on, but really everybody has a strength. And if you're clear on your role, do that well, and don't worry about other folks.
Carlos says that in the both and world that we live in, it's important for performers to be able to entertain and show up as real people impacted by real issues.
I do think that sometimes there's folks that feel like stay in your lane. Like, you know, audience, it's like, well, I'm also a person, and I also have reactions to what's happening in the world, and I also am embedded by who I am and how I was raised and who my people are, who my family is, where I grew up. And sometimes when you speak out about those things, I think there can be this reaction of like, wait, I'm here for music. Like, you know, I saw on the news or somewhere on social media where there was a fan that was really upset at Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. And he's like, unfollow, like you've lost the fan, because he was speaking out against something. And somebody wrote, which machine did he think he was raging against? you barely just like realize that this man is like an activist, you know? And it's interesting because I think sometimes we absorb what we want from music, and then you realize like, wait, you're actually saying something, and what you're saying, I either agree with or don't. And so we're not here to, you know, we're not here to influence anyone's ideologies, but we are here to state our own and have those moments, those aha moments, or those moments of like, wait, what do I think about this? How do I feel about this? And it's okay to feel differently, you know, but it's interesting because sometimes when we come out of the role of entertainer, performer, and we're like, this is who I am as a person, this is what I believe, there's sometimes that tension, but I think the tension is where you grow.
That's Hector Flores and Denise Carlos from Las Cafeteras. The group will be performing at the Lesher Theater in Walnut Creek on Saturday, June 24th. For more information on the group and their tour, you can visit lascafeteras.com. Comedian Gina Brion is heading to the Bay on Thursday.
People always say the same thing. They're like, if it was so bad, why did you stay? Well, why does anybody stay in a bad relationship? Because they're fun.
Drawing from her own life experiences as a Puerto Rican from the Bronx, Brion takes on issues ranging from body image to relationships to cultural and gender identity, and finds the funny common denominators that are in some ways universally applicable and laughable.
Knowing that there's a job out there that aligns with your favorite thing to do, like, which was just to make people happy. And whether that's too people pleasing in today's world of therapy, maybe. But part of that people pleaser in me is the person that wants to share laughter with people. Part of me is just this. I think it's the greatest thing. I think it's the most healing thing. And so I wanted to share that with people since I was a young kid. And then as I got into stand up and learned how to do it, and you know, the some of the do's and don'ts, and some of the ways of staying true to yourself, and what my style was, and it all kind of fell into place for me, which is like the dream of a story, because I know it doesn't for everybody, but I was such a student of comedy, and I was so very well supported. Like that, I think also made a difference, that my family was like, oh no, this is clearly what this kid was meant to do. Like this kid was meant to go and make people laugh. I had never had a passion for anything like I did for stand-up, even as a young kid. So it's been in my blood forever.
I mean, what you were doing is addressing what it looks like to be in an unhealthy relationship in a funny way. Is that part of your intention?
It 100% is. I think that the way that humor is healing and the way that it's healed me from my trauma is always being able to take something that is difficult to go through and put this spin on it of, yeah, this is really hard, right? And we're going to make fun of this right now because we know deep down when we're going through a situation, we know the ins and outs of it. I knew I was in an unhealthy relationship, even though I knew that. My trauma, my issues, my insecurities had me staying in that relationship way too long. But as soon as I was out of it and I was like, oh, I have to talk about this, because how ridiculous is it that I knew I was in a bad situation and I stayed in a bad situation? And why do we do that as people? I think the overall question I always have when attacking a subject is why though?
Brianne says she approaches the world and comedy through a lens of curiosity rather than accusation, which is something she says we can all do to meet each other where we're at.
It's very childlike. It's very much like, why? Why do we do that? Why can't we just understand these simple concepts? Why are we so divided over these things that are actually meant to divide us? We know they are. And it's like all this curiosity. And I think people react better to curiosity than accusation. Accusation does not promote conversation. All it does is make a person defensive and they shut down. But curiosity promotes conversation. What do you think about this? Why do you feel that way? Does that upset you? That's crazy, because it doesn't upset me for these reasons. Curiosity, when you lead with that, when you go into especially heavy, heavy topics with curiosity, as opposed to accusation or assumption, then I think it makes it easier for people to sit down and go, I never thought about it like that. But the second you come in with this is, and really, accusations and being that defensive about something are more tied to a person's trauma and insecurities than the issue itself. It's like, this is a very deep emotional scar for you. So I understand that it's difficult for you to separate yourself from the feeling of this. But even as a person who may have deep feelings about something, I always have to look at it and go, okay, but what would be the opposite argument of that? And can I defend it without attacking the person? Can I defend my argument? And if I can't, then I have to find that middle ground between the two of like, maybe that person has a point, so I have to look into this. And that's kind of what you want to offer as a comic, is just a different point of view, a way that the audience can walk out and go, huh, maybe I should do my own homework and research and see if I still feel the same.
Brianne says the most important thing we can do is observe and listen to those around us while accepting that change is a necessary part of life and allowing ourselves to laugh along the way.
If somebody does call me out for something in my comedy, I can step back and reflect and not automatically get defensive, but step back and go, what did I say? How did I say it? How did I mean it? How did it impact people? And really, once you start doing that, it changes how you handle just about everything that comes your way. Nothing seems as catastrophic. Nothing seems as detrimental or life-ending. You know, you still have your feelings about it. You still have emotional reaction to it, but it's not like I feel like, oh my, the world is falling apart, because I'm taking the step back and going, okay, there's clearly a solution somewhere. I just need to figure out what parts were mine, what parts were somebody else's, and what I'm in control with. And I think that's a thing when they talk about like experience bringing you to wisdom, I think that that's such a true thing. Experience, lived experience can change the game. This is, I'm comfortable in my skin, and I'm also comfortable in the fact that I will change, that I will grow. Change and growth are a constant process that I think a lot of people are afraid of and want to stop. I'm not the same person I was a couple of years ago, but the person I am now, I'm proud to walk in that. Even if she needs some self-correction, even if she needs to work on a couple of things still. And the person I'll be in five years will probably look back at this person and be like, yeah, I'm nothing like her anymore. But the person I will be then, I will walk with power and with pride in that person, who that person is.
Gina Brion will be in Walnut Creek on Thursday. For more information about Gina Brion, visit her website, ginabrion.com. That's it for this evening's news. You can find full interviews with today's guests on my YouTube channel at Sharon Sabota and on my podcast at sharonksabota.podbean.com. And before I end, I want to take a minute to wish all of the dads and fathers out there, including my late dad, who's hopefully listening from above, and the father of my own children, Hector, a very happy Father's Day. I'm Sharon Sabota. I'll see you back here again on the third Sunday of next month. Good evening.